Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Earnings Day. Today, of course, we are going to go through Tesla's earnings report, shareholder letter, and then later on we will have the earnings call as well. There should be a link in the description to that live stream event later on today. If you are watching this afterward, I will be putting in timestamps. Of course, right now we're live a little bit before market close, so we're just waiting for the earnings report to come out. We're going to hang out a little bit here before that. We'll take another look at some of the estimates and hang out until we get the report. So, looking at the stock today, we're holding up decently well. Looks like the macro is down about 1%, or NASDAQ down about 1%. Tesla up 0.2% at the moment. So we'll see. Obviously, it doesn't mean too much as we head into the report, which will determine where we head from here. So I do want to flip over to Excel and we can take a quick look for those of you that didn't have a chance to catch the earnings preview or didn't see the update that we had yesterday. Let me hop over here. Still have a few minutes before market close, at which point we should get the release shortly thereafter. Usually comes out within a few minutes. Sometimes they make us wait a little bit though as well. So here you can see on the right my forecasts. You can see then analyst forecast as well. These two numbers here, we did update in case you missed it yesterday. Tesla, when they collected the analyst consensus, they did have some analysts didn't update their share count for the split. So you'd have some analysts at around 3.5 billion shares showing, some at, you know, 1.1, 1.2. So the average out of that came in at like 3.2 or something like that, which was inflating the earnings per share estimates. So Tesla figured that out, corrected it, and now that has dropped EPS non-GAAP from $1.09 expectation to $1 even, and then the EPS GAAP number down from 95 cents before to 88 cents now. So that's where we're at in terms of expectation. Of course, I am expecting a pretty decent beat on that, about 20% above what analyst consensus is coming in at, and pretty much happening across the board. I'm half a billion higher on the top line, 300 million higher gross profit, operating margin, you know, 260 basis points higher. So just kind of flowing throughout the estimate. So that's kind of where we're at. Of course, after we look through the shareholder letter, we'll flip back and do the best part of this every quarter, fill these numbers in and kind of see how things compare. This will be a little bit easier to interpret, I think, than the additional detail that Tesla provides us in the report. All right, we're closing in on market close here. Hopefully the audio is sounding okay. I know we got a lot of people in here today. So let's flip back to the browser. I just saw someone say, Elon's tweet was odd. What do you make of it, Rob? I don't know. for those that didn't see it, Elon tweeted, I think, something to the effect of, no matter what happens, I'll never let you down, or I won't let you down, or something like that. Interesting tweet to see right before earnings. Could be entirely unrelated. Who knows? It could be a warning that even if earnings go poorly, things will be fine. Or it could be an indicator that earnings will beat and are looking great. So I don't have a strong conviction in either direction on Elon's tweet there. All right, so the market is now closed. Tesla hitting 222.04 to end the day. Up 0.84% with the NASDAQ down 0.85%. So close to parity there. Inverse parity, I guess. I don't know if that's a thing, but we can now start furiously refreshing the IR page. Usually, I tend to see this come out, you know, a combination of seeing a big jump after hours and a link happening on Twitter before it actually ends up showing up in my browser. So we'll just have to see where we see it first. And yeah, if you guys see it in the chat, let me know. The live stream will be a few seconds delayed from real time, but definitely keep me updated if you guys find it as well. So not too much movement after hours yet. Again, if you are just tuning in, or if you are happen to be watching this later, we will stream the earnings call a little bit later on. There should be a link for that in the description. Although I might need to still add that. But YouTube should take you there after this anyway. And of course, there will be timestamps as well for when the actual report comes out for the recorded version. Looks like we're not seeing anything yet. Usually it does take a few minutes. The last couple of quarters, Tesla's been, I saw someone say it's out. I think they're probably just trolling me. It's a little early. Usually it comes a few minutes after market close. The last couple of quarters, it's been a little bit closer to market close. Sometimes it can be 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes though. So we kind of just get to sit here and hang out for a bit. All right, so still not seeing too much movement. Saw someone in the chat say the same thing at the same time that I did. All right. There was some other interesting news today. I don't know if I want to like go into other news while we just wait for missing it. Gosh, you guys are just terrible in the chat, just telling me it's out and it's not out. So unfriendly. So many people are saying it's out, but I don't see it. Okay. I'm assuming it's not out because nothing has happened yet. So I'm just going to ban all the people that said that from the chat forever. So thank you. Well, anyway, the other kind of interesting news here while we wait for that. Waymo did announce today that they are expanding their Waymo One service, which of course right now is in San Francisco and Phoenix, into Los Angeles. So they say that they've gotten to know many of the neighborhoods, downtown Miracle Mile, Koreatown, Santa Monica, Westwood, and West Hollywood, and are going to begin their autonomous service there in several central districts over the coming months in Los Angeles. So interesting to see that. That's, I think, you know, the more cities that Waymo tacks on here, that's going to continue to put pressure on Tesla. Not that Tesla doesn't have enough pressure, but all right, now it's out. So I'm glad we could get that Waymo story in. Let's see as that loads. Anything happening after hours? Not really too much yet. Tesla IR is freezing up. Well, so that's unfortunate. Seems like other people are having similar issues. We're up 1% after hours? Seems like everyone's having a similar problem here. People are just too excited about Tesla earnings. We're up 2.5% though, so they must be decent. It's a nice little green candle there. Oh, this is a disaster, guys. For me. Let's see if I can troubleshoot this. I know other people are having issues too. Try a different browser here. Yeah, so trying to load it up in Chrome as well. Nothing's working for me there. After hours back down a little bit, 226. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck here, guys. I wish I had a better answer. It's not working for me in either browser right now. So, I don't know what to tell you. I guess we'll just continue refreshing. Now we're back to even after hours. Maybe no one's gotten it yet. I don't know. Here we go. It's loaded. All right. Well, that was an adventure. Let's see where we're at. Operating cash flow, free cash flow of $3.3 billion. Okay, that's awesome. $2.2 billion increase in cash and marketable securities. $3.7 billion GAAP operating income, 17.2% operating margin. So that is lower than what I expected, but we'll see what's driving that. 3.3 GAAP net income, 3.7 non-GAAP, 27.9% GAAP automotive gross margin. Record energy storage deployments, 2.1 gigawatt hours. Last 12 months, free cash flow exceeded $9 billion. Industry leading operating margin. Ramping up Texas and 4680 production in Berlin. transportation capacity, still talking about their delivery wave. We remain focused on increasing vehicle production as quickly as possible by increasing our weekly build rate in Fremont and Shanghai and progressing steadily through the production ramps in Berlin and Texas. Logistics volatility and supply chain bottlenecks remain immediate challenges, although improving. We continue to believe that battery supply chain constraints will be the main limiting factor to EV market growth in the medium and long terms. Despite these challenges, we expect to continue to deliver every vehicle produced while maintaining strong operating margins. So let's see what's going on here. It looks like revenue, I think that's right on where my forecast was. Total gross profit, though, a little bit lower. We did have automotive credits coming in, regulatory credits coming in a little bit lower than I expected. That's about $30 million. And that's going to drive a little bit of the difference here that we're seeing in the gross margin line and the automotive gross margin and total gross margin, as well as operating margin. EBITDA, just nearly $5 billion. So not quite a record there. Looks like Q1 was a little bit higher. But we did have an additional $350 million of regulatory credits that quarter. So consider that. Still up a little bit quarter over quarter. EPS, so 95 cents and $1.05. So kind of right in between, I guess a little bit closer to the analyst consensus, but still a 5% beat on that non-GAAP number. And again, that's with a little bit lower regulatory credits than expected. So the true fundamental business, a little bit stronger even, as most of the time you're going to be taking that out. And then free cash flow here, really, really good. So analyst expectation was about $2.3 billion and coming in at about $3.3 billion. So with those top line numbers, let's take a quick look at where the stock is going after hours. Down a little bit now. So looks like we had quite a head fake there. Down 6%. So let's see, maybe there's some warning in here or something like that. But, with a 5% beat, you wouldn't necessarily expect such a significant reaction. We'll see if there's anything else going on. All right, so growth in vehicle deliveries increased average selling price year over year, but declined sequentially. So that's very different than what I had modeled for. I think I had an $800 increase. The prior quarter's average selling price was driven by limited Shanghai production. So as we talked about Shanghai vehicle production entering the mix, I think it was 44% last quarter, 53% this quarter. That drove ASPs down. It looks like that was the main factor, as well as foreign exchange impact, which we had discussed as well. Profitability, increased ASP, so they're talking year over year there, of course, versus quarter over quarter. Increased deliveries, profit growth in other parts of the business, offset by higher raw materials, commodity, logistics, warranty, and expedite costs. Interesting on the warranty there. Negative foreign exchange impact of $250 million. So that's going to be a big driver in the slightly lower operating margins than what I had expected, although it was considered to an extent. It's very difficult to know how that's going to flow through Tesla's business. So that's going to lower operating margins, of course, and GAAP net income. And then cash. So this was really strong. Quarter in cash equivalents increased, mainly driven by free cash flow. Partially offset by debt repayments of $0.9 billion. Okay, that's very interesting. Tesla had paid most of their debt, so it looks like maybe they're even paying off some of their lease-backed debt. I don't know. That's interesting. I'll have to take a look at that. All right, so I don't think any change to production or vehicle deliveries there. Storage deployed. So we talked about the 2,100 megawatt hours or 2.1 gigawatts. That's a great number. 95 megawatts solar deployed. So down a little bit sequentially, but still up year over year. 13% and 62% for storage. Really excited to see that storage growth. Hopefully we're at the, that really inflection point of the S curve, as we've talked about throughout the last quarter or so. Service and store locations up 16% year over year. Mobile service fleet up 30% year over year. Similar growth for supercharger stations and connectors. All right, so in Q3, each of our vehicle factories produced a record number of vehicles. While availability of components posed less of an issue this quarter, vehicle transportation capacity during peak delivery periods became increasingly challenging. We are gradually shifting towards a more even regional mix of both production and deliveries. So of course, as Berlin ramps up, that's going to increase that shift. We'll still see some of that, sounds like, for Q4. So let's see. I just want to quickly see if this table has changed at all since the second quarter. Tesla, of course, shows that production table each quarter. Make sure you guys can see that. So this is Q3. This is Q2. and we're not seeing any change there as far as I can tell. So still the same production table. Let's close out of Q2 and continue through the notes here. So Texas, California, and Nevada, we continue to implement solutions to further increase the production rate in Fremont. The production rate of Model Ys made in Texas continued to increase in each month of the quarter. Total number of 4680 cells produced, cells sent to formation, increased 3 times sequentially in Q3. The initial phase of Tesla Semi deliveries is scheduled to begin in December. Shanghai, Q3 production rate surpassed previous quarters. We know that. Our factory in Shanghai remains our main export hub. So nothing too new on Shanghai. Model Y hitting 2,000 in Giga Berlin, thanks to a strong improvement towards the end of the quarter, using 2170 cells. Production rate progress at the factory is aligned with our expectations. Previously, Tesla said that they're targeting 5,000 per week for Berlin and Texas towards the end of the year. All right, technology. So autopilot and FSD, we continue to see the cumulative miles driven for FSD beta increasing. I would have maybe expected a little bit more of an upslope, but we know that the beta expansion happened around the end of September. So with that happening, we should see, a little bit steeper of a slope there for Q4. So hosted second AI day, updates on FSD, Dojo, Optimus Robot. AI day resulted in a significant spike in applications for AI-related roles. All right, so mission accomplished. And 160,000 drivers at the end of Q3. So it looks like even with that expansion that we didn't see, at least as far as I can tell, none of that deferred revenue recognized. Trip projection tool, so we have talked about that on previous episodes. So customers are beginning to enjoy seamless transition among vehicles in their account with Tesla profiles, so cloud-based profiles. We've talked about that. New energy consumption. And then battery powertrain and manufacturing. At Gigafactory Texas, we have begun production of Model Ys since early this year. They use front and rear body castings in conjunction, excuse me, with a structural battery pack. Castings of this size have never been mass-produced before in any industry by anyone except Tesla in our Fremont and Shanghai factories. Part of the challenge of making such large castings is that all the aluminum needs to be injected into a die in about 1/10 the blink of an eye, through a single point of entry without solidifying or distorting. Plan to introduce front castings and structural battery packs at Giga Berlin before the end of the year. So we've heard a lot of mixed reporting on what's going on at Giga Berlin. Nice to see Tesla reiterate that, which of course would be utilizing the 4680 cells. All right, energy storage. Really nice. Again, hopefully beginning of that inflection point on the S curve, up 62% year-over-year, by far the highest level ever. This level of growth was accomplished despite semiconductor challenges continuing to have a greater impact on our energy business than our automotive business, right? So they're more constrained even with this growth than automotive. So we've heard Elon talk for years about how energy growth should outpace automotive growth. That's what we are seeing right now in this quarter. Well, I think it's pretty close year-over-year, but over the last couple of quarters, hopefully, if energy is actually more constrained when those constraints lift, we can see energy start to even grow faster than auto and become a larger percentage of the business. Demand for our storage products remains in excess of our ability to supply. No surprise there. Process of ramping up the 40 gigawatt hour factory in Lathrop. Solar deployments increased 13% year-over-year to 94 megawatts, one of the strongest quarters in recent years. Commercial project deployment can be volatile and was lower year-over-year. We continue to see year-over-year growth of our residential projects in Q3. Okay, kind of interesting on that. Solar installation team continues to improve installation efficiency, enabling higher volumes and stronger economics. All right. Services and others reached an all-time high. Paid supercharging grew to more than 3 times compared to the prior year. Grew more than 3 times compared to the prior year, and we are working to further accelerate our deployments. Gross profit also reached a record level in Q3, impacted by used car and part sales. Continue to expand supercharging pricing from fixed to variable to better manage vehicle flow through our network. So once we get into Excel, we'll see how that margin looks. Let me take a quick drink here. All right, volume. So this was kind of the question, what we would see here in the outlook section. We plan to grow our manufacturing capacity as quickly as possible over a multi-year horizon. We expect to achieve 50% average annual growth in vehicle deliveries. The rate of growth will depend on our equipment capacity, factory uptime, operational efficiency, and the capacity and stability of our supply chain. I think that is verbatim copy and pasted from the last quarter. So nothing specific about if they'll hit that this year. They'll probably mention that on the call. Elon's kind of been mentioning that throughout the year on the calls, if they're on track to hit that for the year. So we'll see what he says and what that tells us for Q4. No surprise on cash, sufficient. Profits, continue to execute on innovations to reduce the cost of manufacturing and operations. Okay. The pace of production ramps in Texas and Berlin will be influenced by successful introduction of these things. Making progress on the industrialization of Cybertruck, currently planned for production subsequent to Model Y ramp. Okay. Couldn't be a slight hint at a delay there, but who knows? The initial phase of Tesla Semi deliveries expected to begin December 2022. All right, let me just take a quick look, make sure everything's still going pretty smooth here. See where we're at in after hours. Looks like a little bit of recovery. That definitely seemed a bit overdone. I mean, we beat expectations. We didn't see anything in the report that changed guidance at all. It kind of seems like, you know, business as usual. Just continuing to work on executing the things that Tesla has talked about as we head towards hopefully 2023 being a little bit of a year of new projects, more 4680 stuff, Cybertruck, Tesla Semi. All right, so photos and charts, Model S Next General Assembly, Giga Berlin, updated shot, Model Y General Assembly at Berlin. It's the growth of the Shanghai factory. Of course, we've seen plenty of shots of that. If you followed Wuwa at all, body line, Giga Texas exterior, getting really close to completing their Tesla solar panel logo. All right, and then quarterly. So quarterly, of course, we can see that a lot of these numbers are record results, but trailing 12 month, this is always the, you know, one of the most fun things to look at. Really smooths out a lot of the volatility that we see on these month-to-month results. It's a nice little zoom out, so clean curves, like Elon has talked about. Even if you zoom out further from the trailing 12 months, those curves look even cleaner for Tesla's growth rate. So always fun to see. Operating margin, Tesla continuing to pass well beyond the automotive industry, roughly 7%. Tesla now right around 17% this quarter. Trailing 12 months is probably pretty close to 16 at this point. And actually ahead of the S&P 500, despite being in an industry that is historically about 10 points lower. Year-over-year revenue growth, of course, Tesla highlighting something that we're talking about constantly. The S&P growing at about, 15% there? Auto industry in decline. Tesla growing at 60% a year. So, yeah, should definitely carry a low multiple. Totally makes sense. All right, we're getting some explanation here. Tesla giving us more details on how this delivery wave, you can see why it's called that very clearly here, how that looks and the impact on number of vehicles in transit. So historically, Tesla delivering, you know, hypothetical weekly delivery patterns. So this isn't, you know, they're just showing an example here, but start out low, producing and exporting internationally, and then delivering all of them at the end of the quarter, then, you know, reverting back to the same process. So you're underutilizing logistics in this period of time, overutilizing in this period of time, just like Tesla's charging demand rates on supercharging for heavier periods of time of transport. Of course, same logic applies here, and I would imagine especially so in Q4 with all the other holiday traffic around that time. So keep that in mind as we head into Q4. If Tesla's not doing this, you know, transportation probably even more expensive around that time. So they show their ideal state curve here, which is just completely getting away from that. The resulting number of vehicles in transit. Okay, so during the quarter, you would have a lot of vehicles in transit in the midpoint where you've produced a lot, shipped them, they're in transit internationally, then you start delivering local vehicles, they're in transit locally, and all of them in transit at the same time, they all get delivered at the end of the quarter, and you start the wave again. So two different visualizations of different waves. We've talked plenty about that, so hopefully that makes sense, but I'm glad to see Tesla spend a little bit more time communicating that and just helping people understand truly what that delivery wave is. All right, so then we're getting into the financials here. Again, we'll probably just flip over to Excel and see how that looks, but I'm really not seeing anything in here that, you know, isn't sort of business as usual. Again, we're continuing to rebound, stock down 3%. You know, it's higher price than we were at 2 days ago, so not a huge reaction here after hours. Seems like this probably, you know, I don't want to speak too soon before taking the time to digest everything, but this seems like it'll probably just, you know, align pretty closely with what people had expected. I think the results are probably underneath the covers a little bit stronger than what most would have thought, but maybe the lack of guidance, something like that, is keeping it down. Who knows? So there's the financials. Let's flip over to Excel, and we can put some of these in and get a little bit better understanding of how that variance worked. And again, we will be tuning in for the earnings call. That'll be in about an hour, and there will be another link for that in the description. YouTube should take you there right after we do this. But let's flip over then to Excel. All right, so as I said, the most fun part of the quarter here, filling in spreadsheets. All right, so automotive sales, let's see. 18,692. Interesting. So, yeah, average selling prices fell a lot. So that is something that the market could be looking at and having concern with. I think that's, you know, that's even well below analyst expectations, and that's going to be a number that carries forward. So they must have really crushed on some of these other lines. Oh, okay. So yeah, I wasn't on revenue. I was at 22.4, they came in at 21.4. So that's where the discrepancy is. So we definitely have a top line miss. That's probably influencing what's going on after hours too. You know, 400 million short of analyst expectations. Even with that revenue shortfall though, margins being a little bit better, allowing Tesla to still beat those expectations a bit from a profitability perspective. So 286 million regulatory credits, energy sales were 1117, 1645. All right, so pretty close to my forecast on energy and services and others. So even though I had, you know, 1.8 gigawatt hours for energy, and Tesla beat that by, you know, 20% or so, I'm only 1% off on revenue. That shows us that a large portion here is going to be from Megapack. And the solar business coming a little bit light too is going to influence how that looks. So Megapack, of course, lower average selling price per gigawatt hour. It's going to drive the average revenue down a little bit. Okay, so still up 56% year over year from Q3 last year. I was 4% too high. Analysts were 2% too high. I think I flipped how this comparison is looking here, but I get the point. Automotive profit. So we're looking at automotive sales minus our automotive costs of 13,480. Get my subtraction sign in there. Okay, so I'm half a billion too high. Analysts, 300 million too high. Again, 40 million of that ish is regulatory credits. Energy profits will be, looks like pretty decent. So $104 million. That was 16% too low. The margin percent there, 9.3%. So down a little bit quarter over quarter. And again, that's going to be as a result of the mix of the business, likely driven by Megapack. Still up significantly year over year though. So I do think Megapack's starting to get to a point where the volume is high enough where Tesla's, you know, starting to make a profit on that, where I think previous quarters they were probably losing a bit. Just at those lower production levels. All right, so services and others then be all right. So 4%, so not anything too crazy, but a little bit higher than last quarter, which of course was, you know, the last few quarters is when we've started to see services and others flip to profitable. Now up to 4%. So decent amount above analyst expectations, a little bit below where I was at. R&D, this did come in a little bit higher than expected for me. Not too bad though, about 4%. and SG&A actually holding flat quarter over quarter. So that's nice to see. One of the reasons for Tesla to beat there on the bottom lines. You can see we don't have the breakout of R&D and SG&A from the analysts, but you can see that their operating expense forecast was $2 billion, and Tesla here, it's, you know, under $1.7 billion. So no restructuring or other charges this quarter, so no Bitcoin impairment, anything like that to worry about. I do wonder in free cash flow, you know, I feel like we would have seen something if they had sold any assets, but we'll see if we can come across that at all. All right, so that's OPEX. So operating income, 3688, yep, so 17.2%, up 260 basis points year over year, similar increase quarter over quarter. Our EBITDA, mentioned previously, let's see where that's at. I guess Safari doesn't want to help me find that, so we'll come back to EBITDA. Stock-based compensation, let's see. I don't know if my earnings deck PDF is searchable here. I'm just trying to figure that out. Seems it is not. So that's going to slow me down a little bit on these as I just look through the earnings deck to find those two couple of numbers. All right, so stock-based compensation, $362 million. That's going to be a big factor in driving down SG&A versus what the analyst expectation would have been. You can see that they were about $60 million higher, but stock-based compensation holding flat quarter over quarter. I don't know if they've called out CEO compensation in here. It should be $9 million this quarter. We'll leave that blank for now, but that's going to be inclusive to that number. But pretty close to what I expected. And let's see here. GAAP net income. It's $32.92. Okay, so non-GAAP, $36.54. And then we know we're at $1.05 here, 95 cents here. Okay. Just missing EBITDA. Let me see if I can find that quick. Then we'll talk through some of these numbers. So 49.68. Oh, and then let me get cash flow in here as well. And then things will be smoother once we get that last item. All right, well, we know it's $3.3 billion, so I'm just going to put that for now and come back and look at the final actual. Then I think we had 94 here and 2100 here. All right, so let's take a look at some of the items that stick out. Talked through them a little bit there, but I think the biggest one is that top line miss. I know people are in the camp of saying that Tesla can't miss any numbers. That's kind of frustrating to me just because stock prices are based on expectations. We're not trying to say that the company, well, me, when I talk about it, other people might have a different agenda, but if I say something misses, I'm not saying, trying to say that that's bad or anything like that for Tesla as a business, or that it's necessarily even disappointing. It's just a way to communicate that the number is less than expected, and stock prices are, of course, based on expectations. So just my two cents on that whole thing. So as I probably will use some of that vernacular here as we go through this, Tesla did miss expectations on that top line number. Looks like, you know, because it wasn't delivery based, since we knew those numbers going in, definitely an average selling price decline, more significant than what we expected. I think Tesla's cost structure is lower in Shanghai than what we thought. Looks like their average selling prices are much lower as well. And I'm guessing that's a result of vehicle mix. I think what we're probably seeing right now is a lot of the production in Shanghai. You know, I think off the top of my head, I think we had like 120,000 deliveries in the quarter within China domestically. I'm going to guess that most of those are Model Y standard range, Model 3 standard range, just the lower ASP versions. And as Tesla's ramped up production so significantly, in Shanghai this quarter, especially coming off of last quarter where we had that production downtime. I think that's what's really driving this mix shift. Tesla didn't talk about it in the deck, but I think previously we were seeing Tesla accelerating the higher trim versions in terms of delivery timeline in North America. I'm guessing that that has run its course a little bit. Tesla is now probably caught up to that and started to have to mix in more of those orders that happened when the prices were lower. Or they've just, you know, exhausted a little bit of that higher trim backlog, and now we're mixing in more lower trim vehicles than they did last quarter. So where we previously might have seen some of that offset Shanghai a little bit more, both of those things probably flipped a little bit this quarter, which is going to drive those average selling prices down. So of course we'll go back and I'll do my model and change how things look for this, but that will probably result in me lowering my average selling price forecast for Q4 and probably beyond. And that's really what, you know, can make the difference for results like this, is people like me, analysts covering the stock, people that are doing their own forecast for their own investment purposes. You have to go back and you have to incorporate that new data. And if that comes in lower than what you had thought, then that's going to change what your assumptions are for next year. And, you know, lower average selling prices, even if costs are lower, that can come through to the bottom line and, you know, end up taking earnings per share for future quarters out, which will yield a lower fundamental value for the company. So those are the kind of things that I'm talking about where, okay, it's not necessarily super important what happens in this one individual quarter. It's more important what can we learn from what happened in this quarter and how does that affect future quarters. And this is definitely one of those things. So I think that's, you know, I was a little bit perplexed when I thought that the revenue was right on what I had expected. But now that I realized that I was misremembering my forecast, you know, it does make a little bit more sense, some of that movement after hours, as, you know, the expectation would be for some of that to come out. Now that we've said that on the top line, the opposite impacts are true on the bottom line. You can see here, gross profit, it is a little bit lower than what was expected. But when you go down the operating expenses for the business, Tesla's cost basis, their fundamental cost structure remains very low. Like you can see here, this is actually, you know, only up 2% year over year. It's not necessarily quite a fair comparison because we did have Bitcoin impairment last year. That's hitting SG&A. We did have $190 million of CEO compensation also hitting last year. So you've got, you know, $250 million in there that's adding to operating expenses last year. So it's always important to keep those things in mind. It looks like we don't really have any of that this quarter. But still, whether you're comparing to Q3 or Q4 or Q1 or Q2, despite Tesla having all-time high deliveries here, despite all-time high revenue, all-time high gross profit, well, not quite. Despite those things, again, that was boosted by those regulatory credits. Despite those things, operating expenses, you know, staying flat. So we've talked about how these kind of one-time things were boosting Tesla's expenses before, and people probably not doing a good job of recognizing that. And we're still, I think, seeing that when we look at, you know, analyst expectations for where Tesla's actual fixed cost structure is right now, people think it's a lot higher than it is because they're looking at some of those numbers from the past. So Tesla continuing to just come in lower there, demonstrate their operational efficiency. And as they get their volume up, like, remember, this is still being impacted significantly by what's happening with the 4680 production ramping up in Berlin and Texas. Those are still driving margins down. So, you know, it's going to suppress their automotive gross margin, total gross margin. But as those things work their way through, Tesla will have more of that dropping down to the bottom line while they keep their operating expenses low. So, I mean, I think those are kind of the big things to point out. What you'll have analysts doing now is dropping their average selling prices for future quarters. Cost of goods sold, it looks like probably a little bit higher than what was expected, but with such a low revenue, you know, if you were to give analysts this revenue number ahead of time, I can almost guarantee you that they would have come in lower on this automotive gross margin line because they would have seen average selling prices fall so much. You know, I'll have to get into my spreadsheet to see what changed in terms of the actual average cost of goods sold. But with that compression, you would have expected probably gross margin to fall, like average selling prices did. So the fact that Tesla's able to maintain that is maybe not extremely positive, but you know, with the revenue here, we definitely could have expected a little bit lower of a number here that we're not seeing. So that's good. And again, energy and service, those being less of a drag on the margin mix, that's definitely helping as well. So one of the things that is important to also consider here, with this average selling price coming in a little bit less than what most people expected, it's going to increase the concerns about pricing worldwide. We've talked a lot about this. People have a lot of strong opinions on this. It's just important to have the discussions. With concerns about demand in China yielding possible price reductions, when we're already seeing average selling prices come in below what people had expected, we're probably going to see analysts start to model not only off of this more conservative assumption, but also assuming that there is price reductions happening at some point in time, which will further increase this. If Shanghai continues to grow to be a bigger percent of the total, that's just going to have an even more significant impact. So, you know, it's not all like sunshine and rainbows from an ASP perspective. Again, I think people are significantly underestimating, as we can see pretty consistently quarter to quarter to quarter, Tesla's fixed cost basis lower than expected and Tesla's ability to drive down costs. Right now, we're seeing that hidden a little bit, and it's night and day, like where that starts to happen, Q2 and Q3. You know, some of this driven by that production shutdown, but as Tesla's ramping up Berlin, ramping up Texas, that's where margin has started to fall off a little bit. So once they can do that, you know, I don't think they had a chart in this earnings deck, but we've seen the charts before about the number of robots in the body shop or in general assembly for a Model Y made at Texas or Berlin compared to Fremont. You know, it's, I think it's like a third. So that's not even really considering the impacts of 4680 once Tesla's able to get that resolved, which, you know, we're probably still a decent way out from that. But point being, people are going to be concerned about average selling prices. They're not really going to think too much about Tesla's ability to drive costs down even lower. They're going to wait for Tesla to prove that, right? Just kind of how it works. So, you know, they're going to lower average selling prices. They're going to wait for Tesla to prove it out on costs. But my opinion, Tesla continues to be underestimated in that cost regard. So same message I communicated after the delivery report kind of, I would say, applies here. All right, so let's see. Let's see what the stock is doing. So we're down about 3%. So again, nothing too major there. I would just like to just state for the record that I'm like not disappointed. I feel like whenever the stock is down and I do a live stream, people are like, oh, Rob, you're so sad, or you're like so disappointed. Guys, I've owned the stock for like 10 years. I don't really care about the day-to-day price. I'm just kind of a monotone person, so it might seem like I'm a little bit sadder than I am sometimes. It just kind of is the way it is for live streams. So I'm sure there's people that are going to have that comment today, so I just want to kind of get ahead of that. Not sad. it's always funny to see that. It's like if the stock is down, people assume that I'm like depressed about it, and if the stock is up, then I get credit for being like not emotional. It's funny. So caveats on that. But yeah, I think that's probably where we can wrap it up then. Great way to end it. But yeah, we'll flow into the earnings call here. That'll start in about 50 minutes. Again, the link for that will be down in the description. That may not be there right now. I need to double check on that. But if not, YouTube should just roll you right into the earnings call, which will start right when Tesla starts it. And I'll be taking notes there like we usually do. And then, you know, stay tuned afterwards and we'll react a little bit to what we learned there and try to put that in tandem with what we've learned here in the shareholder letter. So stay tuned for that. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks for all the comments. I know I missed a couple of super chats here. I guess should probably take a look at that before we wrap it up. So let me just try to get a couple of the super chats since we do have a little bit of time here. Nikhil asking, why were margins same as previous quarter? So Margins being the same as previous quarter, that's driven by an average selling price decrease. So for Tesla to be able to maintain margins even quarter over quarter, they need to keep their cost of goods decreasing as well. So you've got ASPs declining, but Tesla able to counteract that a little bit by keeping costs declining on the same rate. They also mentioned just the mix of Shanghai, as we had talked about before. That's a lot of that's coming through from the mix of standard range Model Y, in my opinion. All right. thank you, Lyle. Appreciate that. Jay Lizard with some great advice here. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Tesla is definitely tough. Shalindra, don't look at the stock price. It's not that bad. We've seen worse. And let's see. Winston, thank you. Always very supportive. Appreciate that. Definitely helps the channel out. Let's see. We've got a lot of chats to go through here, so I may miss some. I do apologize for that. It's always tough to keep track of the chat as, you know, working through all these other things. I'm not really seeing too many else here, though, so... So, yeah, again, apologize if I missed those. We'll head into the earnings call now, though. It'll be in about 45 minutes, so make sure to stay tuned for that on the link that is in the description, and we'll see you over there. Thank you.